broadcasting from inside the Jim Butler Ballroom of the beautiful Mitzvah Hotel. KFAB and Twyla's Pack and Tack Shop is proud to present Drive Time to NOPA with your hosts, Faye and Brenda.
Well, here we are, Brenda, once again in the studios at the Mitzvah Hotel. I am the Faye driver, and with me, of course, is my co-host. Hi, Brenda.
Hello, Faye. How are you?
Great. Isn't it nice to stop here on our way back from Las Vegas? We just popped into Tonopah to just record a little show here in the studio, the Jim Butler Ballroom.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Twyla's Pack and Tack. She's our most reliable and dependable and what's the other word? I don't know. Sponsor.
Right. Benevolent sponsor.
I was loyal. Loyal's the word loyal I was going sponsor.
For. Yep. We certainly do appreciate Twyla's Pack and Tack Shop and all, of course, all the businesses here in Tonopah.
Mm-hmm. You know, R.T. Cruiser was in Tonopah.
Yes, we've heard about him and that great cup that he stole for you.
Mm-hmm.
So in case people don't know, it was a cup from the Tonopah...
Best Western.
The Best Western from Tonopah. It says Tonopah on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and he had to do some covert action to get it because apparently, you know, most hotels you can go down to the foyer and they'll have some kind of continental breakfast and they had these cups sitting out, so he filled up his cup and conveniently took it back to his room, and that's how he got it into his suitcase.
Right. Good job, mate.
Yes, he's back in his home country, too.
Already, eh? Yeah, everyone's heading back to the daily grind, I suppose.
Yes, we are. Excuse me.
Hey, just before we carry on, you know, there's been a lot going on, what with Pride 48 and all the Pride 48 live episodes. I just want to send a quick note out to Chris in Brussels, who put out a show while I was traveling home from Las Vegas. Chris, I'm talking about from the Channel Hopping podcast. So thanks, Chris.
Mm-hmm. He and I were supposed to meet up in Chicago in October, but
yes,
that's not going to work out now. I've let him know, and he understands because there's some things going on back home, but that made me sad. I just don't know when that opportunity will show itself again, so it makes me sad that we don't get to meet in person.
Well, he does come to my end of the country every once in a while, so maybe we can have a mass exodus to Calgary.
Mm.
Maybe we'll take Brenda Boo to Calgary someday.
And just leave me there?
Yeah. Well, maybe you could live with Chris's sister.
Yes, wouldn't she just love that? Some American she's never heard of.
So what's been happening for you since you left Las Vegas? Or do you want to talk about Las Vegas a bit?
Sure. So a lot of people on Lotsel, we just discussed this. We did a show where we talked about our feelings about Vegas, and everybody's had a lot of positive things to say. I did too. The thing I noticed most was that it seemed a lot more relaxed than 2 years ago when I was there. It seemed like everybody was even more comfortable in their own skin. You know, sometimes when people talk about meetings, different meetings, not just Pride 48, but, you know, sometimes you're like, barf, you know, everybody loves each other. You know, it's kind of over the top, right?
Yeah. For the cynical people in the world, yes, it could be like that.
It wasn't like sickeningly sweet, but it definitely felt like an atmosphere of friendship and acceptance and relaxation. It was very good.
There was a different tone this year, a more relaxed tone. And I think, you know, because many of the people who were there have met each other repeatedly now. So everyone knows each other and there's less nervousness about presenting yourself or trying to be the best you can be for the other people who are coming. So, yeah, it was very relaxing. I really had a wonderful time, and I agree. I think there was just this mood of calm. There was just a contentedness about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's always wanting to know what to expect. So I knew what to expect, and that helped me relax. Although when I went to a show with Mark and Ed, which I talked about on a different show. Ed looked at me. He's like, relax, because I had my arms kind of pulled up. And he's like, you look like you're trying to keep everybody out of your bubble. And I was like, no, I don't want to be plopping over into your bubble. So I don't know what I looked like. I might have looked a lot more stressed out than I felt on the inside.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the other thing that is weird about Las Vegas is the first time you come to Las Vegas, it's really overwhelming. And I think you can't really enjoy Las Vegas until you've already been there once and gotten the lay of the land, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably maybe many of the people who attended Pride 48 had already been there once before. So there wasn't the shock of Las Vegas or the learning how to navigate Las Vegas this mm-hmm. time, right?
Yeah, and not trusting signs that they put up, you know. We were trying to get one of the casinos to get someplace on the one of the last days we were there the last time. And it said, we kept following the signs to get to such and such. And they'll take you the longest route possible.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So don't trust those signs. Ask somebody. Or else, although the people you ask, they're really no better. They're just like, follow the signs.
You need to be prepared in Las Vegas, even just to get through from one end of a casino to the other, because the things are so bloody big.
They're huge. I mean,
I complained in one of the Las Vegas shows about how we were walking constantly because these buildings are so big, right?
Mm-hmm.
They park you on one end of the place, and the thing you're doing is on the opposite end of the place, so you're always walking. I was lucky enough to have a hotel room at the very, very end of a hall.
You sure were.
And it was like, oh my God, it's like a 5-minute walk from the elevator to the end of the hall, because there's who knows how many rooms, 200 rooms on a floor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And then you give people the wrong room number, and they get to go and pound on people's doors that weren't expecting them.
I can't imagine anything like that happening.
No. I'm outside your front door. Let me in. No, you're not. You're 3 floors too up, too high. Whoopsie.
Well, those damn buttons on those iPhones are so tiny. What can I say?
See, another reason why texting is terrible.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's a terrible way to, horrible way to communicate. Well, you were kind enough to take care of my audio from Vegas, and I have to say that I have to thank Mags from Chaotic Ravings for really bailing me out, because there was a little bit of a technical difficulty Saturday morning, and 95% of my show didn't get recorded, and that's fine. If it never had been retrieved, the world would not be any less. It'd be just fine, you know. But he was able to give you the recording, and I uploaded it onto my RSS feed, and got to listen to it again. And I re-listened to it. I didn't even listen to it. I just plopped it on.
Aren't you brave?
Yes, I did that with Lotzel too. I was like, plunk. I just plunked it in there. But I have to say, I did sound kind of nervous. Hello again, I have to admit.
Well, you were the first show of the day, too. There were a lot of things, there were a lot of weights on your shoulders that day. You were the very first show of the day, and people tend to, you know, just meander in when they get there, after they get done with their breakfasts or wake up from being hungover and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
We had a loose agenda for the show, so, yeah, it was good, though. I think the show was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Did you re-listen to it?
I'm actually about 3/4 of the way through right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to it right now.
It was fine. But I could hear the nervousness. I felt like I came off a lot more relaxed during the Lotzel show.
Yes, you were. I still think you sounded relaxed. I mean, people who know you well might detect that you were nervous, but overall the show was pretty relaxed, I think.
Mm-hmm. Besides the podcasting part of it, which I got to see a lot more shows this year,
Actually, before we leave that topic, I also would like to just thank the technical crew, specifically the technical crew from Pride 48, Daniel and Adam, and all of their volunteer audio technicians. There were quite a few of them. I don't think I'll try to name them. But John Ong worked for you and for your shows, I think. I don't know who did Lotzel. Mike from Squamish did the Pink Wheelnut show. So thank you specifically to those guys who mm-hmm. helped us out.
The audio quality was really good.
Yeah, I was happy.
Yeah. You know, they volunteered. I don't know. I volunteered my time when I made a couple of paintings for the raffle, but you know, I got a lot of pleasure out of that. So maybe that doesn't count the same as sitting in front of a board watching.
Right. Well.
Anyway, it wasn't.
We all do our part.
Yeah, I did my part by hosting the hospitality suite by not showing up.
Oh. You were absentee host.
Well, see,
hosting by proxy.
There you go. I forgot about it because it was really Peter who signed us both up. So unless I do it, sometimes it just gets lost in the chaos. Yeah. And he reminded me on Sunday. He's like, oh, shit, we're supposed to be up there doing that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm sitting here listening to Wendy. And he, about 10 minutes passes, he says, aren't you supposed to be up here? And I went, huh? What? I never went up.
Brenda.
I have a terrible...
You're the bad... One of the... That would be the bad person from Pride 48.
Hey. What are you talking about?
Committing to something and not showing up.
If Peter wasn't up there,
oh,
I would have gone.
Oh, yeah, it's all Peter's fault.
No, shut up. If Peter hadn't been up there, I would have gone up there. But since he was up there, let's continue to talk about any other feelings we had about the experience.
I had a good time. I was busy.
Mm-hmm. Many costume changes.
A lot of costume changes. One of the things that you always experience with Pride 48 is there never seems to be enough time to go see everybody or to connect with people. Every year I go, I feel the same way. I wish I had more time to spend with such and such and such and such.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Brian, the Game Night guys, I only saw him for maybe 10 minutes total. Now, unfortunately, that's the nature of the beast at Pride 48 because there's so much happening and you can't spend every minute with every person.
Right.
Although I do want to point out there's a little too much of people sticking together and not enough of people separating and going into those camps that they're not used to. I'm as guilty as the next person for sticking to the same group, but I also recognize, for me, these are the people that I feel a closeness with across the internets, like, you know, like the Lotzel crew. I spend a lot of time with the Lotzel crew,
mm-hmm.
probably too much, but I really enjoy those people. So one of the reasons I go there is to see the people, you know, that I have a close connection with. So as much as I say, I wish people would spend more time with other people, at the same time, I want to spend my time with people that I know too, right? And mm-hmm. connect with. We only have this one weekend, essentially, to see each other. So I understand why you can't see everybody.
Right. The thing I got out of Pride 48 was, man, I felt a lot of love from people that I had no idea were out there that were so nice, you know?
Yeah.
Mark and Ed and Brian and RT and just a bunch of people just... You know, Christian Messer, he always gives me big hugs and makes me feel so welcome. There's just, oh, and Jay, Blind Guy Jay. I always feel funny calling him that. I just want to call him Jay. But I didn't want to confuse him with RJ. Calvin and JR, people that you kind of feel like, oh, this is a good person. And then you meet them and you're like, wow, these are really great people. And you wish that they lived closer and... And then the other thing I get is, like, just getting back together with, like, you and the Lotzel crew
mm-hmm.
Just reaffirms that we are good friends and that we care about each other and it's not just a bunch of BS, that we are there for each other. And
right.
That's really heartwarming to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the funny thing is, you know, I have to travel 500 miles to see Mark in Canada. You know, I spent a lot of time with Mark, and I obviously enjoy being around Mark. But that was another highlight of the trip, is getting to see Mark more, which I feel like I'm going to be missing out on soon. He will be leaving my country, as some certain people say here at KFAB Radio.
That's right. In my country, people leave. But he won't be that far away and easy to see him.
He's an easy 40 minutes away from me right now, and I still hardly see him.
Yeah.
So.
It's not inconceivable. You could make it happen.
No, not at all.
I wanted to tell you the reason why I didn't jump up and go to the suite when Peter was summoning me back up there.
Yeah.
Had a lot to do with what's going on here at home.
Oh, yes.
I had just gotten off the phone and had a difficult conversation with Eric, and I had just pulled myself back together, and I had been crying, and I really needed the distraction of watching that podcast. That's why I didn't go back upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about what's been going on, how things are going back at home?
I have mentioned that Eric and I are getting a divorce, and actually we got the divorce. It's been finalized as of the day after I got back, which was not expected. Can I tell you about some of the experience of going down to the clerk of court?
Yes, let's hear this. So you just get back from Las Vegas, and a day or so later.
No, next day, very next day.
Oh, okay, very next day.
Mm-hmm. We were doing it through the internet. You can e-file in Iowa, and we got this email that said that they didn't receive our paperwork for the how we were going to settle up our property and debts. So Eric's like, they have open court today. They said we should go down there and just take care of it. And so we get our paperwork together and we go down. We don't know where to go into the where the courtroom is. So I see the clerk of court. I go over there and go, let's go ask them a question, you know, where to go. And anyway, so it turns out we needed to go there anyway to scan in some paperwork and whatnot. But first thing off, I say, yeah, we're here for open court. And she says, oh, for the divorce court? And I look at her and I look at Eric. I'm like, do I look unlovable? How did you know that? She written all over my face. Well, apparently this is what it's for. It's just for divorce cases. Uh-huh. And she says, that's all it is for.
Leave it to you to automatically assume that they can see you have a secret bubble over your head.
This woman is unlovable.
Right. Here's the list that floats over my head of all the things that are wrong with me.
Exactly. So we get this paperwork in, and we go to talk to the judge, and we think we're just going to say, okay, we've given you this paperwork. And she's like, well, we can finalize that today. You ready to do that?
Oh my God.
And we're like, huh? Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. So, yeah, Eric went and scanned some paperwork, and I just wanted to tell you that apparently in Iowa, you can go nowhere without knowing somebody. So,
brother.
Right. So I'm sitting there in this room, which was very casual. She didn't have a robe on or anything. She said they did that on purpose to keep it loose and what. And I said, do you know many of the court reporters? Because my sister is one. And right. I, even before I got it out of my mouth, what her name was, she goes, oh, you're so-and-so's sister. I see. You look just like her. And she says, you know who's in the room next door? Karen, you cleaned for her. And the next thing I know, Karen's coming in the room.
Oh, brother. Oh, my God.
There's no such thing as privacy.
No. That's terrible. Two things. One, for starters, you weren't entirely prepared to have your divorce finalized. Like, that's like the machete coming down on the neck, right?
Right.
So that must have been quite a shock. How did you feel about that first shock?
My first thought was, this is all happening so fast, which it has happened very fast. Normally there's a 90-day waiting period. But if you are civil and you have worked it out and you don't have kids, they can waive that 90-day waiting period, which they did for us. So I was just like, oh, wow, there really is no going back. Then my next thought was, well, I guess we're here. Nothing's going to change. We might as well just get it over with.
But I don't know. It seems to me that there would be some value in that waiting period. What if on day 89, you both, one or both of you, decide this isn't the right idea? Especially given the fact, given how quickly you guys went from just talking, say, you know, I'm not entirely happy in this marriage, and then it's like, okay, let's get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
It was resolved very quickly. Far too fast, if you ask me.
Yeah, I would have, and then I assumed I'd be continuing to live here for several months, maybe even through the winter.
Right.
But that is not happening. Oh, and pardon me, that's not surprising. Eric's always been, he just doesn't sit on things. I could tell from the get-go that he didn't want this just unresolved and hanging in the air. He needed to have an answer one way or the other. I don't think he's entirely happy about it. I think,
yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think it's all about just finally, somebody's talking about this elephant in the room necessarily. I just think, well, that's the way, when he asked me to marry him, he was very quick about that. Everything he does is just bing, bang, boom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we went to go sit closer up to the judge, and she pulls up the computer screen. She starts typing in the information. She gets all our information in there, and she says, so are you ready to be divorced? And I'm like, I guess. And then she clicked around on the mouse, click, 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 click. She goes, there, it's done.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I started crying. She walked out of the room. She had something else to do, and I started crying, and I just, for the rest of that day, I felt like I was in a fog and, mm-hmm. and stuff. And then my mom and dad, they came up the next day. No, it would have been that same day because I wasn't working. And took me out to eat, and I told them about it. And my dad says, well, it's probably best if you'd let it go. And I, you know, different things. I was talking about my in-laws, and he says, it's probably best if you let it go. And I said, I don't know if we've met, but that's not in my skill set. So I'm always trying to make a joke, I guess. It's right. Like, who, remember who you're talking to, right? Oh, that's just like water off my back. No problem.
Yeah. That is odd. Like, it's odd to me. Like, your dad's just like, okay, we're done this task now. Like, dusting his hands off.
Yeah.
Carrying on.
Apparently he's pretty worried about me moving so far away. It's upsetting. Yeah. That's what my sister told me last night, which surprised me. And he's being very nice. He said I could come home and live if I wanted. And I said, please, no. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I'd rather live here in a hostile situation than go back home.
Which we need to investigate this sometime, too.
What's that?
Your relationship with your father needs a lot of sorting out.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a lot of talk therapy with this one.
Are you willing to sort that mess out? Because I'm not willing to go to therapy anymore, talking about my family.
I understand that. Well, I'll work on my psychology degree, and then we'll sit down sometime.
Okay. And now it's just becoming these details about health insurance, and since we're no longer legally married, he can't keep me on his insurance. The only way we can do that is if I was his dependent, which I'm not his dependent. So
right.
Figuring out medicine and money and checking accounts and activating this and deactivating that and getting my name off the house and so many details.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Filing this and filing that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, being married was a full-time job, and getting divorced is a full-time job too, it sounds like.
Yeah. It's weird, though. When I was in Vegas, I'm noticing how I'm going to have to retrain my brain, because I'm so used to considering at least one other person about mm-hmm. just everyday little things.
Yeah, you're no longer a couple.
Mm-hmm. My biggest fear, besides all the other little fears, but the biggest fear is that I'm going to end up like one of the ladies that I worked with at the hospital, these 70-year-old women who are too poor to retire, and they're trying to work as long as they can so they can get their full Social Security.
Right. It's a very scary thing being not only a single person, but now a single woman in a man's world, right?
Mm-hmm. I told you that I don't think I've talked to you, but I looked at my itinerary wrong when I was leaving Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear about this. How did this happen?
Since I had a layover flight in Denver, there's the time you leave Las Vegas, and then there's the time you leave from Denver. Well, I just, for some reason, focused it on the time that I left in Denver and thought that was the first line. And I said, oh, I leave at 10. No, I didn't. I left at 6. And I was realizing this at 7:30.
Oh, Brenda.
I know. I thought Faye would be so disappointed in me.
This is one of the things you're going to have to learn, how to look after yourself.
Well,
you better learn how to read a bus schedule, too, by the way.
Bus schedule? Why is that?
Because I'm sure you'll be on the bus a lot.
Why? I've got a truck. I'm not going to be on no fucking bus.
You're going to love the transit system in Bellingham and Vancouver.
Nah.
You're going to be just like Musing Mark.
No.
I can just see you riding around on those sky trains back and forth.
I don't want to ride public transportation. Jesus Christ. I hate that. You make sure you have all your shit. You can't stop at the store on the way home. Fuck that.
You can get a monthly bus pass for half the price of insuring your car.
If you get one, I'll get one.
Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you. So, all right. So you misread the instructions. And so how did you get home?
Well,
and how much did that cost?
It didn't cost me anything.
Oh, wow. Good. Yeah, how come?
Apparently, I'm not the first idiot in the world that's missed a flight. So they were able to book me on flights later in the day. Yeah, I lucked out. But, of course, the way I realized it is I was trying to book a ride to the shuttle. And he says, well, it's based on appointment. When do you leave? And I went and I looked at my itinerary to get the specific time. And that's when I noticed. And so the concierge is downstairs and I'm looking at it and I go, oh, fuck. Mm. Right in his little poor ear. I was supposed to leave at 6. He's like, oh, you are? Well, you better call your airline right away. So I get off the phone with him. I proceed to start crying because I'm in a panic.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, I don't have any money. That's what I'm panicking about.
Right.
And I call Eric. I say, I'm not going to be there. I just want to let him know. And then I called the airline, and I collected myself. And they gave me a couple options, and just got home a couple hours later than I expected. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, good. Did anything good happen to you on your flight that made up for missing the first one?
I made a fool out of myself a few times. I was sitting in the middle seat on the first leg of it, and I was tired. I was really getting that don't talk to me vibe from people. Just wouldn't make eye contact or anything. So I'm sitting there, and I close my eyes, and I don't have my head on the headrest, but I'm just sitting there quietly. And all of a sudden, my head dips back, and I do the thing. And I whipped up because it woke me up. Mm-hmm. And I say to the nicer guy beside me, I say, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like, huh? Because he had earplugs in. And I say, huh? I'm sorry about that. And he's like, what? I'm like, never mind. Never mind. So nothing happened. It was pretty smooth getting home.
That's good.
After that,
I had a great flight home. I was in an exit seat, which has a bigger leg room.
Mm-hmm.
And the seat beside me was empty.
Oh.
And the seat beside the empty seat was filled with a very good-looking young man.
Mm.
Kept trying to chat him up, but he wouldn't have anything of it.
I had a good-looking boy sitting by me on the way up, and it was a smaller plane, and I said, well, I could leave the arm rail up if you want. It'll give us a little more room. And you could tell he was like, I want to touch you as little as possible. So I put it back down and left him alone.
Ah, the joys of traveling in our modern world.
Yeah. So what was the guy doing when you tried to talk to him?
I would say something and he would give the one-word answer sort of a thing, you know.
Yeah.
And they came around handing out the papers we fill out when we come back to Canada, your declarations and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, would you like to borrow a pen? I have one right here.
No, thanks.
So, okay. I guess we're done. But he did hold my briefcase for me, so.
Ooh, wow.
So that was nice.
Mm-hmm. It is weird when you're trying to be friendly with a stranger. And I'm always chatty when I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Which you've seen. And so I'm trying to get rid of some of my nervous energy, and when nobody will cooperate, I just get really embarrassed. And we have a conversation, rather an interview with Kashela, that's coming up right after we get done talking. But is
right.
there anything else you wanted to say about Vegas or about my impending, well, it's done, my divorce? I'm divorced. I'm a divorcee.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about changing your name. Now, have you given that more thought, or what are your intentions on that?
So that was one of the things we addressed when we were there with the judge. I said, now I've gotten to think about this, and I've decided that what with going back and forth between Canada and having to get a new Social Security number and just a bunch of details that would have to take place, I have kept my name for now, and then if I want to revisit that in the future, I can just petition for a name change. But I decided to keep it Walker for now.
Yeah, I think that's probably a wise decision, mm-hmm. at least until you get established in your new place, your new home, wherever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the funny thing is that for a man, there's no question. But why should this occur for the woman, the wife?
Because marriage isn't about all this, you know, we've made it into some kind of romantic institution. It was never established that. It was more about an exchange of property. And when you have property, you give it your name so everybody knows it's yours.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're not branding you women anymore.
You women. God. I didn't know that was something that happened. That's what the wedding ring is about. That's a way of branding.
Oh, yes, right.
Mm-hmm. So, just to wrap it up, I feel kind of proud of myself in a lot of ways because I feel like I've handled this a lot better than I could have. I haven't been calling Faye on a daily basis and having a meltdown or anything.
Right, yeah.
I haven't done it once, have I?
Not at all, nope.
Yeah, I haven't been calling anybody else and having meltdowns. And one time I was talking to my sister right after it happened and I said I was scared and everything, but in the same breath, it's like I was telling Eric, I said, even though we're not going to be living together anymore, I still plan and need him to be a big part of my life. And it's only because he was in my life and is continuing to be that I have the courage to make this move. And it's only because of you that I'm able to really make it happen. So I just want to acknowledge that I feel proud of myself, but I know that I've got you two anchors really helping me make it happen. So I say thank you, and I'm going to pay you back.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. I mean, this is the adventure of life, right? We're faced with these challenges, and I've been through challenges of my own in my life. And every once in a while, you need someone to give you a helping hand, and I've had people help me in my life at very important, integral, pivotal times in my life. I'm happy to be here for you. And thank you for saying that.
Probably, if I had never known you and this all that had happened, I'd probably just be moving back down to Iowa City or something. So this is a big adventure. And like I said to somebody, maybe it's a big mistake, but whatever. I'm going to try it.
Yeah. I don't think it's a mistake at all.
Yeah.
I think you're going to do great, and I think this is going to be a really positive turning point for you.
Should we tell everybody what the weather is before we go to our Gashela interview?
I think we should. As you know, here in Tonopah, the weather hardly ever changes. It's always very consistent. What is the weather, Brenda?
Why, it's 55 and cloudy.
Of course, it is. If you want to get in touch with us here at Drive Time Tonopah, you can email us at fayandbrenda@gmail.com. And thank you very much for listening.
Yes, thank you. Hello, and welcome back to Behind the Microphone. I'm here with Gashela from Cooking with Gash. She's our next victim, if you will, in our continuing series on getting to know the many personalities behind the microphones here at KFAB Radio. Good morning, Gashela.
I'm a Gashela Ferenczi from Cooking with Gash. Hello, Brendela.
So, Gashela, you and I have been co-workers for quite a while now. And
Oh, yes.
You made quite a stir here in the studio about 2 weeks ago when you basically dropped the mic and walked out of the studio and for all we know, left the country. But it turns out you didn't leave the country. You went on a little trip and you're back. Can you tell us what happened? What happened that day?
Yes, darlings. No, darlings. Gashela got a little bit upset. A couple of weeks ago, some difficult thing happened in her life. You know, Gashela life, a very hard, hard life. Many things happen, and Gashela maybe have a little bit too much beverage, and decided this life, KFAB Radio, not for Gashela. But, darlings, I so wrong, made the wrong decision, unfortunately. I don't know what happened. Maybe Gashela lose her head a little bit.
Well, Gashela, the thing I am always curious about is that you record your Cooking with Gash here in the KFAB studio. And as far as I've always known, it's been a pretty much dry studio, no alcohol allowed. How do you manage to have your special beverages all the time here while you're cooking?
Well, darling, you know, beautiful food require many different ingredients.
Ah, okay.
And so Gashela requires certain ingredient to enable Gashela to make a gorgeous dinner. So this is how, you know, Gashela not able to cook without a proper beverage, because a beverage is very important to the quality of the meal.
Well, I want to ask you kind of a difficult question. This is about your cooking show. I definitely want to get back to you walking out of your mid-show. But we get a lot of feedback from our KFAB listeners, and there's a little bit of murmuring and a little, I don't know if you want to call it a rumor, but it's been brought to my attention that even though you call your recipes a variety of different names, they basically all boil down to a fajita. What do you have to say about that?
Oh, this is a very difficult question, but I think I know the answer.
Yes.
Yes, darling. It would appear in many ways that Gashela make the same thing over and over and over again. If you were to sample the dish Gashela make for you, you know this radio is not a TV, so maybe sometime Gashela sound like always using garlic, ginger, red pepper, green pepper. But darlings, when you see the final product, is beautiful, delicious.
Mm-hmm. It always sounds good. It always ends up being chicken, no matter what you end up saying. Like, if you're going to do a pork roast, somehow you never have the ingredients. Is KFAB not providing you with a proper budget to buy the ingredients you need? I mean, I don't mean to sound so... It's something that I've wanted to ask you for a long time.
Well, darling, you know, accountant for KFAB Radio is a Faye Driver. I don't know, you noticed the vehicles, a very nice Faye Driver, food cook for KFAB Radio, not so nice. So, darlings, Gashela deal with what have Gashela given. So, if you have a question for a budget, maybe present the question to Faye Driver.
Oh, so you're saying that there's something shady going on with the Faye Driver? Maybe we should bring the Faye Driver into the studio. Faye, can you come in here for a second?
Darling, I think you understand if a driver off at a meeting, you can't be here today. Because I think maybe if a driver meeting with husband, always husband have meeting too.
Well, I could have sworn I saw him walking down the hallway. I could have been mistaken. He's gone now. So, all right. Well, regardless of your cooking show, you did just walk out in the middle. You made a comment that you were heading either to Reno or to Vegas. Where did you end up going?
Darlings, Kishel had a very, very wonderful time. Went back to first place to come to this country. Kishel go to Las Vegas, back to deal a blackjack table. However, darlings, ran into a little bit of a trouble at the blackjack table. Not able to keep a job.
Well, which casino were you working at? Do you mind telling us?
Well, maybe you've not heard of this casino. In fact, a separation agreement from when fire require Gashella keep a secret, not a divulge name of employer.
In order to give full disclosure, Gashella, I should tell you that even though I didn't come with you on your trip to Vegas, we did end up seeing each other, and I saw you at the Excalibur.
Yes.
We spent some time together.
Yes, darling, I was there. I came to Excalibur. I wanted to meet the people who listen to Drive Time Tanopa, KFAB Radio, Cooking with Gash. So I did come to Excalibur for a little while, you and me together. We came to Pink Carpet.
Mm-hmm, we did, a Pride 48 celebration. These are a bunch of podcasters. As you know, even though I have my professional radio job here, I like my hobby of podcasting. Faye is also part of this group. We didn't see Faye at the pink carpet. It was just you and I, but...
Yes, again, another promise of Faye make not to come through. He say, pick up at the bus depot. I not see Faye driver bus depot. I had to hitchhike. Darling, you see what I travel with, how difficult to find a ride hitchhiking a bus stop to Excalibur. Very disappointed of Faye driver.
And you are standing on the side of the road with your traditional Indian garb on, which is what you wore on the pink carpet.
Every day, wear all the time.
Yes, the same outfit. I noticed that you wear that particular ensemble a lot. I kind of just figured you had a whole closet full, but you just have the one?
The shallow wardrobe, this is part of the reason why not able to keep a job at the blackjack table. Customer complain, smelling like ginger, garlic. So, Gashella, lose a blackjack job.
I collected you and I escorted you down to the pink carpet, but we really didn't get to... We didn't get to have much of a say because they were running out of time. Was there anything you didn't get to say at the pink carpet that you would like to be able to say now?
Darlings, Gashella, just to say... So happy to come to meet the people of Pride 48. Sorry I had to rush away so quickly. No time to be with people. Had to get to job, which finally got fired from. Unfortunate. But Gashella, I want to say thank you to listener Drive Time Tanopa, KFAB Radio, Cooking with Gash. A lovely time. And thank you, Brendala. Thank you, Brendala, for helping Gashella find Pride 48.
Well, I was happy to do that. I was kind of hoping, now that we've spent a little time outside the studio together, that maybe you and I could go for a margarita sometime after work on a Friday night. What do you think?
Oh, that's a good idea. You know, Gashella also tried to get a job at Hooter restaurant. Do you know this place? What is the Hooter?
They sell they're famous for their hot wings, I believe.
Oh, that's right. Gashella work in a kitchen, Hooter. They know like the cook of food that Gashella cook. Always complain a French fry tasted like a garlic, a ginger, so this a job no good either.
Well, maybe you'd be better at a waitress because you're an attractive woman. You're not afraid of showing your midriff off. You could really get a lot of tips because those Hooter waitresses barely wear any clothes. Or would that conflict with your religion?
Well, darling, you know, Gashella only dress in native cultural garb. So, this outfit that they wear, Hooter, Kishara not allowed to wear a very, very bad, bad against the religion.
Plus, you're a married lady. You're married to Daryl, the laundromat king of Tonopah, which is really quite true. He does a lot of business here in town. You have two daughters, Banamala and Heather. And yes. How are they all doing?
Well, you know, Heather make out okay. Maybe she meet the rich man. This, we hope, still looking. Because she not be able to do anything else in life. And Banamala, very good helper to Gashela in the kitchen. So, Datra do very, very well. Husband, still we get along okay. I not tell you why Gashela leave, because a little bit private. But, you know, things not so good, husband.
Mm.
But the husband beg and plead, because I not tell you this, but husband love Gashela cooking. So, Gashela goulash surprise, he love. So, he beg and beg and beg me to come back and cook for him. So, I say yes, yes, husband, I come cook for you. Even though husband still have a meeting at the hotel, lots of time. But it's okay, because Gashela know Gashela loved for cooking.
I wanted to ask you, like, this is kind of private, I know, but it's a matter of public record. Last month, the Clown Hotel had a sting looking for unlicensed brothel workers. Now, as you know, in Nevada, it's legal to be a prostitute, but you do have to go through the steps to become, I guess, a legal prostitute. You have to have testing and licensing, and the Clown Hotel was busted in, and I believe Daryl was one of the people that got arrested. Did you have any comment about that?
Oh, yes, no. Daryl tell me he ought to be participating with licensed hooker, or pardon me, licensed prostitute. So I believe husband, he say he there delivering the linen and the bed sheet for a bedroom for this place. So this is what happened, I believe, husband.
As a fellow woman, I just want to encourage you to assert your rights. And if you ever feel that you are being abused, or if things are just not right at home, I want you to know that you can come to me. I'll keep it confidential.
Friend, lovely, sweet girl, thank you very, very much. You know the worry, Gashela. Gashela, everything okay, as long as Gashela have beverage.
Oh, well, that's good. So you're back to Tonopah. You had a short little side trip to our bigger city here in Nevada. We don't have that many big cities, but you went off to Vegas, and you're back. Is anything new coming up for you?
Well, I think, darlings, you keep ears tuned to KFAB Radio, and you listen for Cooking with Gash, and Gashera friends, I be back before you know it. Can't tell all secrets, darling. Keep some secret hold to chest.
Well, I'm so glad you're back, and I'm really glad we got the opportunity to find out a little bit more about you in our series. Behind the microphone, you are definitely one of the people I wanted to be able to ask some questions, because not being from the United States and coming here, you must have had a lot of changes in your life, and it sounds like you really adjusted well, and you're a survivor, Gashela. I'm proud to know you and be your coworker.
Oh, thank you, Bendela. Thank you very much. One piece of advice for people coming to this country. You come to Tonopah, a husband, a brother, run a taxi service. This taxi service no good. Don't use it, I would say to you this. Okay, thank you, darling.
Well, join us next week when we'll be doing another one of our series of Behind the Microphone. This time I'm going to be grilling my co-host, the Faye Driver. See you next time.
Bye-bye, I'm a Kishara Frenzel.